I'm going to be in several different scriptures this morning. I do not really have a reading today. First scripture I'll be reading from is in 1 Timothy. But I want to deal with a subject this morning that I believe is very critical, one that probably we ought to deal with about this time every year, because things have really changed in the area of how people dress. I am amazed at what people don't wear. And it's really frightening as to what is going on. Title I've labeled this as Modest in Dress. The reason I believe that Paul wrote to Timothy in the first epistle, where I'm going to be at in just a moment here, is that he was wanting to set some things in order for the local church. Listen to these words. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So it's interesting. God has written to Timothy. He is believed to be the pastor at this point at the church, or in the church at Ephesus. And he's saying, "I'm writing these things that you might be able to set in order some things within the house of the Lord, how that you might behave yourself properly." And when he says that, which is interesting, he says, "which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So God has given to us a tremendous responsibility. And in that responsibility, there are behaviors that ought to be taking place. Within this same book, we find that God gives us some special instruction on how to dress. If you're in that book, chapter 2, if you turn back there, and I want to read a couple of verses there, chapter 2 and verse number 9 and 10. Verse 8, he says this, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." And like manner. He's not talking about what they're doing, but in the like manner. In other words, with a holiness. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." And so we find here that God gives now some special instruction on dress, and it's given especially in this spot to women. I believe there's a reason that God gives this to women especially. And I believe the reason can be found in the Word of God, and most men can understand this, and that is that the way a woman dresses affects the men who see them. It's just plain and simple. And one of the things that I hear sometimes is women, they complain, they say, "Well, that's the man's problem, his eyes shouldn't be there." Well, let me put it this way, quit showing it. It'll help our eyes. Let me read you something found in Proverbs, chapter number 7. It says, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot." What's that say to you? What's that say? All right. There's certain attire that shows forth her harlotry. Okay? I doubt if it's long sleeves and floor-length dress. Do you? I just don't think that's what he's referring to. But it's that which is, in many regards, revealing. That which is showing forth really what shouldn't be shown forth. So he's talking about the attire of an harlot. Subtle of heart she is. She's loud and stubborn, the Bible says, but her feet abide not in her house. Now she's without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Does that still happen? Yeah. "So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him." And it goes on. "So she allured him with her dress." Many years ago, I experienced, and please listen to all this, I experienced what this was all about. I had gone out to see Brother Kimmel. He was in the hospital in Cleveland. And we had driven all day, found a motel, and we had seen this sign that says, Kids Stay Free Holiday Inn. I thought, hey, listen, I won't have to pay extra for them. We'll just stay here. This would be great. I've never stayed in a Holiday Inn before. Boy, what a mistake that was. But anyways, we got there. I was so tired. I just didn't want to look anyplace else. We paid the bill and went to the 17th floor of this motel and got everybody seated and comfortable and settled down. And so I went out and I got in the van and I took off. I found the directions to go to the hospital. Really quite simple from there. Just went a block south. Caught this other street, and this street went right by it. And I went up, I turned left, I drove about two blocks, came to a stoplight, and first time in my life I'd ever seen such a thing, here came about six women out. Now, this is a one-way street. There's five lanes. I'm in the very middle lane, and they come to the first two cars, and I see them coming towards mine. And for once in my life, I was very thankful that I had a certain feature on the car. It was called power locks because I hit it. And I looked straight ahead. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, they were dressed in the attire of a harlot. It scared the fire out of me. I'd never been in such a spot. I drove the next block thinking I got away from it, only to get up there like a lot of lights. You know how they just stop you one after another. I went through that for four blocks. I was in, I guess you call it the red light district. And I was just kind of, can I use the word awe? Not in a splendor type of an awe, but I was just kind of shocked that I'd never seen such a thing. I'd heard of such a thing. I mean, every corner. I mean, here they came. Six, eight, ten, you know, I mean, they just, boom, coming out there. What I noticed was several of those men were looking for that. That was what they were after. I went on to the hospital, came back later that night, and never been in that situation again, for which I'm thankful. But I understand this setting when he talks here in the Word of God about the attire of an harlot. Believe me, they were dressed different than any I'd seen. Many women in our day and age, even in our churches, are dressing in the attire of a harlot, showing things that ought not be seen. And we need to be very, very careful that we not be guilty of tantalizing. And I believe God condemns that kind of action. Romans chapter 14, verse 13 says this, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Not only can women cause a man to fall, but men can do the same in this matter of dress. Men are more prone to be people of sight and led into sin more easily than women in this sake, but it's certainly on both sides of the fence. And so when you and I think, well, it's their problem, no, if we're tantalizing, we're the sinful person. We are putting a stumbling block in somebody's path. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "This is the will of God, even our sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that is that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." This is an interesting scripture, because God is telling us we are called to holiness, and we ought not be the one who brings a temptation or defraud our brother, whereby they are caused to lust God tells us in that verse He will be avengers against such who do that. And we need to know how to take care of our bodies and how it will honor God, not us. Very important that we do so. There are times I've experienced it in church that I could not look certain directions and really keep my mind on things. Well, you've got a sinful mind. No, I'm a man, and it shouldn't be presented to me. And one who does so is, if I see right, more guilty because they are being used of the devil to tempt. It ought not to be so. We need to be very, very careful. The instruction on dress, I believe, is very explicit, but it's lost its distinctiveness in these last days. I believe there's a reason for that, because we have lost our spiritual discernment. I hear people talk about having the gifts, and I hear this business about, boy, I've heard people say, you're not even saved, you don't have the gift of tongues. Well, I know people who have a tongue that never stops, and they're not saved. I'll tell you what's lacking, though, and that is this gift of discernment. And we need to be asking God to give us that in our lives. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, it's interesting in light of the day in which we live, because much of what we see is like the church at Laodicea. The Bible says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know what God is saying to this church? God is saying, you do not have discernment. You're looking on the outside, you're seeing those outer blessings, but you do not have the discernment of God to understand what's really going on. I see that over and over. Many times I've asked people, how is it between you and God? Oh, I'm doing well, me and God. They have no discernment. No, it isn't. They haven't read their Bible in weeks. They haven't prayed in days. And it's all well between you and God. Let me ask you this. Would it all be well between you and your husband or you and your wife if you didn't speak for days? Some say, yeah, that'd be really great. No. By the way, if you say that, you've got a problem to start with. And it's just not the deal, okay? So we need to understand the Lord wants us to have discernment. We need to look and see these kinds of things. The Bible is very well defined when it comes to the matter of nakedness or nudity, exposing portions of the body that ought to be reserved for the marriage partner. By the way, the Bible says the marriage bed is holy. It is an honorable thing. That's a man and a wife, period. Okay? Anything outside of that, we find some great and horrible mistakes. I want to take us to several spots in the Bible. I want you to turn there because I want you to see something. And that is that nakedness is always associated with sinfulness. And after we see that, I'm going to take a few moments and look in the Bible, and we're going to find it defined. We're going to find some definition on nakedness. So let's go first of all, book of Genesis chapter number 9. Say, why are you dealing with this? Have you driven up down the streets lately? Chapter number 9, verse number 22. Notice what it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid upon both of their shoulders, went backward, covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now notice something. And Noah awoke from his wine, knew that his younger son had done unto him, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now he is placed in a position of curse because he saw his father's nakedness. You say, what's the big deal? The big deal is many believe that this was more than just with the eyes, that it had to do with homosexuality, because it does talk about something he had done to him. But it did something in his mind, if that wasn't true, that ought not to have been done in his mind. It is associated with sin. Notice chapter 32 of the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 32. Verse number 5. Remember this one, Moses on the mountain. Aaron, he's going to make the golden calf. It says in verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow's a feast to the Lord. Verse number 6 says, and they rose early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. By the way, what he did was what? Sin. Notice what went along with it. Verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. By the way, it's one of the very easy keys to occultism and cults if that is something that is practiced among them. And you'll find that many of them, that is the practice they have. Book of Leviticus, chapter number 18. Book of Leviticus, chapter 18. Just a few examples here from the Word of God. Verse number 6, chapter 18, verse 6, instructions are given here. He says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, he gets very specific. He says, the nakedness of thy father and the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. I've heard of homes where mothers and fathers run around naked in the house and let their children do it. I say, shame on you. Verse number 8. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. It's for the marriage. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, the daughter of thy mother, whether she born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. It goes on, talks about almost every family member. And he is, what, saying, that ought not to be. So if God's saying it ought not to be, if it's done, then it's what? What? Sin. Yeah, it's wrong. It's something just ought not to be done. You go over a couple pages, chapter number 20, and starting in verse number 11, and I think you see what happens when it's uncovered. It says, and the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to what? Death, their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have brought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. And on you can read there, God what puts nakedness and sin together. They're associated there together. So let's look and let's see if we can discover a little bit of what God says, what nakedness is from His standpoint. So I'm going to take you back to the book of Exodus. You can turn there. Chapter number 20. Here's some instructions that God gave to Aaron and his sons as they were to go to the altar. It tells us, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar. He said, I don't want you to have steps going up there. And here's the reason why. Because you're going to be working up there, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now, he had definite things they were to wear. But if you're wearing a skirt, and that was basically what we might call this, that they had on, if they bent over, things show. And God said, that's nakedness. Okay? We can discover what he thinks of that. Exodus chapter 28, Verse number 42, for the men, he says this, thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Now he's going to describe what it is. From, he says, the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Okay? So this covering was to the loins, completely down, covering the thighs. Okay? An area that ought to be discovered only by your spouse. Okay? That's with men. And an area that you want to make sure they understood. Okay? I like to see even more. I'll share that with you in a moment. Women. Book of Isaiah, chapter 47. Book of Isaiah, chapter 47. Verses number 2 and 3. He says, take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall not be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. He describes here what is nakedness for a woman. Uncovering of the thigh, making bare the leg, particularly the upper portion. And it needs to be covered. Amen? 1, 2, 3. Some thoughts for you. When sin entered into this world, man sought to cover himself. But here's what we find. It wasn't good enough. And the intentions of man is never good enough, so God had to clothe him. Now we understand there was a lot more involved with the clothing of Adam and Eve. When we consider that an animal had to be slain and it's showing forth how God covers us with His righteousness and the robe of righteousness. But what we need to see at this point in trying to discover is that normally the natural man doesn't cover himself as he ought to. Let me give you some thoughts. I believe clothing should not accent the, I hate using this word, I'll use another, gender parts. Ought not accent. Okay? Clothing that allows this is wrong and should be discarded. Let me give you three L's that make for a good rule in clothing. And I'd say this to men, I say it to women. Long, loose, and lots. Long, loose, and lots. It's an area that just we need to be careful. When you go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, you find the armor of God. And I'm not going to go there at this moment. When you find the armor of God, you find the areas that God wants us to have covered to go into battle. And brethren, we are in a battle. God has called us to nonconformity to the world. And how we dress, our living sacrifice is important. Does He not beseech you by the mercies of God that we what? Present our bodies a what? Living sacrifice. He says, holy, acceptable unto God. So this body that we dress, we ought to understand, it is to be a sacrifice to God. It's not something that we use to tantalize and to tempt others. It is something that we now want to use to bring honor and glory to God. Ladies, there's an area of your body that God wants to accent. It's your face. He tells women that Long hair for her is honorable. There's a reason for that. It's the frame around the picture. Now, there's all kinds of discussions on what's too long and what's too short and all that business. You better take that up with the Lord. If there's a question, it must be too short. If you're walking on it, it must be too long. I'm not sure I'd want to sit on it. I don't know where that is. But I do know this. That's the purpose of it. See? And that's what I believe ought to shine forth and be that which is the great appeal. What caught my attention with my wife was her face, but more than anything else, it was her eyes. Now, here's an unusual thing. If I look at you and I look at your eyes, for some reason, I never know what color they are. I think I'm too blind to see the colors. But it's the eyes that always capture my attention. The Bible says that the eye is really the channel to the soul. And we're very expressive with the eyes. And young girls especially, how we need to teach them. If they catch a guy with their body, she's going to lose it. And then she's going to be afraid she's going to lose the guy. And if he's the kind of guy that got caught by her body, his eye will catch every other body that walks by. I need to understand there's something far more important. Amen? And I believe, by the way, they learned that from the older ladies in church. I've been thankful in the last few months that some of our ladies took some time with our girls just to teach them those very things. We've honestly seen a few of our girls, for the first time in their life, understand some principles and their dress has changed. And one of them, through all of that, I believe got saved. But it's a very critical area. And many times we get caught up in the world and we want to get closer to the world and in these things. And we worry about all the styles. You might have noticed I don't normally follow styles. I have grandchildren that buy me ties that I suppose are in style and all of that kind of stuff. But really, I look at myself as a trendsetter. So what do you mean? I don't follow that. I just follow what I believe God wants me to do. And so I'm going to set a new trend, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I haven't thrown away a tie in years because they come back. And I wear them again. You know, hang on to them. They'll be back one of these days. Been around long enough, Doc, you know that's true, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. All those ties I got with pictures on them, they'll be back one of these days. And somebody will walk up and say, "Where'd you get that one? I haven't seen that one around." Well, anyways. God gave some special instructions to Timothy and Titus. And he tells us something in company's modest dress. And I'll read that to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe we already read that. But it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety." Remember those two words. Then we go to Titus and we find that he says that that they teach, referring to the older women, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. I'm going to look at this word chaste, which is next here. For a woman, when she gets dressed, it's with shamefacedness. This is opposite of the impudent face of the harlot found in Proverbs chapter 7. And it speaks of a sense of shame. You know what captured my heart? Was not only her eyes, it was that sense of shame. And when you say that, you might think, well, that's a horrible thing to walk around with. I'm talking about the shamefacedness, that which portrayed innocence. That captured my heart. I didn't want a harlot for a wife. And I saw in her face that shamefacedness. Sobriety is being discreet. One who's able to control the passions and the things that would cause temptation. Chaste, meaning to be pure from carnality. So when it comes to our dress, it's that we not bring temptation to others. That through our dress, it allows the brilliance of our face to shine forth, which ought to have the joy of God upon. Might not have a smile all the time, but it ought to have the joy of God. Amen? And we might understand that there is something uniquely, wondrously different about that individual. I walked into a store in Montana. How many have been to Montana? Your husband's up there right now. Walked into a store in Montana. We were on a trip. If I remember right, it was a drugstore. I walked into the store. I was on vacation. I think family's all out in the car waiting on me to get some crazy thing. And as I'm walking through the store, I see this lady. And immediately, please don't take this wrong, I'm attracted to her. And the attraction is not, it's not a physical thing. I sense something about her that is very Christ-like. It's very attractive. I'm not talking something in the sludge here. I'm talking about that which is a godly attraction. And I went and picked up my stuff and walked up, and lo and behold, she's right in front of me in line. And so I said to her, "Ma'am, are you a Christian?" And she said, "Well, yes. What made you ask?" It was written all over her. It was her countenance. It was the way she was dressed, which was quite obviously different than most of the rest of them that were in that store. And it gave me the sense of purity in this woman. And so we had a few moments of conversation, checked out. She went her way, I went mine. Okay. And I believe that's what God wants in our lives. The spirit of the devil undresses people as seen with the demonic cults. We see it with the demonic of Gadara. He was naked, running in the tombs. And when the Spirit of God came into his life, he's not only then spiritually dressed, but he is clothed. And it's interesting what it says, in his right mind. Okay? God wants us to really stop and look at it. Are we modest in our dress? It's not just for women, but it is for men. Okay? Then I'm going to ask you one other question. Does God deserve, when we worship Him, a better dress than when we go to the ball game? I know my answer. What's yours? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You so much. We can have this time together. We pray You'll bless these thoughts. Lord, really, as a pastor, not pleasant to deal with, but Lord, things that we have to look at. Lord, we realize today that this was so important. You included in Your Word. It's so important that You have new clothing for us as we enter into heaven's glory. It's so important that You've said that when we receive You as our Savior, that You clothe us in righteousness. And yet, Lord, somehow as Christians, we sometimes don't really pay attention. We don't have the discernment that we really should have. So, Lord, I pray that You might give us that. And, Lord, that we might honor You in our dress and the way we conduct ourselves and all that we appear unto others. Lord, that we might have that label, though it's not written across our heads, that there's something very different about us. And Lord, that You just work and bless. We ask for Your blessing now to follow. and that You'd be glorified through those things that are said and done. Bless the few moments of fellowship we have now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.